before we finish up, we've spent a lot of time on defenders, but we've got to just talk about one last team. Very good defense. United. So clean sheet last week, Man United. Harry Maguire nailed. Apparently, Maguire and Evans are now first choice ahead of Rafa Varane. Makes complete sense. Johnny Evans, much better than Rafa Varane in 2023. Clean sheet against Fulham. And you don't count Champions League results, so we won't talk about what happened midweek.
Yes.
Good fixture. I mean, Luton this week, Everton next week, Bournemouth in 16. That's not bad. Why not Maguire? He's 4.2.
I would rather take Lascelles and also the Palace boys before United. And I think a United defender is very low on my list. There are many players that I would pick over United at their current state, despite the fixtures.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the FPL Banger Show. My name is Siva. I'm joined by Sam for the Game Week 12 preview. Sam, I feel like I've said this a few times this season, but was that the worst game week ever?
I did all right, actually. I don't know what you guys are all talking about.
I'm guessing you're one of those people who owns Doku or Cole Palmer or Trippier.
Not that, I mean, I have Trippier. We have Trippier, right?
So I sold him it, but never mind.
Okay.
Mistakes were made. This is what happens when we don't do a podcast, right? You go away for like a week and mistakes get made.
No, I had one of those weeks where I didn't really have big returns, but in a week like this, just, you know, 7 points from Bowen, 7 points from Gordon, that's enough to propel me up the ranks.
Yeah. I did have Bowen. It was quite nice to see Jared Bowen actually taking over. Unfortunately, I benched Gordon. One of those lessons about don't have a strong bench. You live, you learn. I mean, Gordon got away with a fairly illegal goal, which should have been ruled out about three times, right? Ball out, push on Gabriel.
I mean,
probably offside.
At the end of the day, it's the points that matter, Siva.
Yeah, I mean, there's a conspiracy against Arsenal. I mean,
okay, we're not that kind of podcast, so. But a decent week, I guess, 41 points, which is pretty good.
In the context of last week, that's an amazing score. I mean, you take that all day long. Yeah.
It's one of those weeks.
It's a new week, and hopefully 41 won't be the high point of this week. You know, hopefully that'll be one of the lowest scores this week. As we go into Game Week 12, right? And I think all of us sort of rolling in thinking, okay, team looks good, probably can roll a transfer. Everybody's got good fixtures. And then yesterday, Costa Simikas, who I, like many people, went in early on thinking, okay, this guy is going to be a great bargain. Left back for Liverpool, no Robertson.
Did you stop for Simikas? Oh my goodness, Siva. Okay, never mind. Mistakes were made. We move on, right?
7 days ago, Trippier to Simikas seemed like a genius move. Okay, Trippier's playing Arsenal. He's definitely going to concede. Simikas is playing Luton. He'll definitely keep a clean. Simikas is basically Trippier for like half the price. It all made sense, I mean, to me. And until Simikas gets benched against Luton. And even though he started yesterday, and you're thinking, okay, this is not too bad. He's starting. Gomez also started against Toulouse. But then Simikas makes the mistake for the first goal. And then he immediately gets subbed off at halftime.
Yeah.
And I am assuming he hasn't been subbed off to protect his minutes. So now that it looks like he's being dropped, somehow, inevitably, my entire season has just been making defender transfers. I had to transfer out Estupinan for an injury. I had to transfer out... I had to bring in Simikas. Now this has happened. I brought in Gabriel. He gets benched. I brought in Destiny Udogi, who recovered from injury to get the worst haul ever. Like, who gets minus 4 points? Like, how is that even possible?
I feel like even few seasons back with an own goal and stuff, I don't think I've seen a minus four. Has there ever been a lower FPL score?
I mean, not to my recollection. And what happened this time was he got such low points because after they got sent off, they kept conceding. And I didn't... I mean, this is like a fairly noob thing. I'm learning new things about FPL 10 years in. I didn't realize that when you get a red card, you still lose points for goals conceded.
Yeah, you do.
A substitution.
Only, yeah, exactly. I thought you knew this, Eva. Or is this one of those hidden FPL knowledge?
My teams aren't often down to 9 men, so I don't really need to know about this.
That's true. I felt like something like this happened before a few seasons back, and that's when I learned. If you get a red card, you still get the minus for goals conceded.
Oh, I didn't realize that Destiny Rogi would be prone to making fairly stupid challenges when his team was already down to 10 men.
I know.
Completely unnecessary yellow.
I'm really happy that I went Poro over Udogi like all those weeks back.
You've lucked out, mate. I mean, this is ridiculous. Yes, Poro is better, but this is there's variance, and then there's whatever dark magic that's going on here.
And right? I'm pretty sure a few weeks back we were talking about Romero, and I was like, he's a red card magnet, and you were, no, he's changed this season. Well, Siva, well. To be fair, I don't think it was a red personally, but
maybe maybe he just saw Enzo. I think Romero had sort of turned a new leaf and new manager. You know, good day, mate. How you doing, mate? chill out, mate, and all relax. Apologies to Australians. And then suddenly he saw Enzo Fernandez running into the box, and then like maybe you know like that meme of the dog with the headlights in Vietnam sort of thing. So maybe he just sort of. He saw his pass, you know, flash before his eyes, like Argentinian guy running into the box, break his leg, because
you know how sometimes you try to grow as a person, but you meet someone from your childhood that just brings you back into that toxic person you used to be. So is that what seeing another Argentinian did for him?
Yeah. So this, have you seen Anger Management? So there's this movie last time with, I think it's Adam Sandler, right? And he meets this guy who's now a monk who used to bully him, and suddenly the monk sees him, and then suddenly the switch goes up and the monk turns back into the high school bully. That's exactly what happened to Romero. He sees Enzo and thinks, I gotta break his leg. Because in CONMEBOL, you break legs all the time, and it's like, oh, it's a warning, maybe it's a yellow card, because you know they have different standards there.
Yeah.
So
Can't
plan for that. What did you think of Spurs going for the highest line possible with 9 men? This seemed to be very, I don't know, people seem to think that this is very game-changing.
I think it's very commendable, I guess. Kind of all or nothing, right? You can't hate them, I guess, at this point. You know, yes, maybe it would have been more practical to sit back, try and grind out the result, hold on. But I mean, it's entertaining. So no complaints from a neutral, I guess.
Almost worked, right? Because Mudrik and Nicholas Jackson, I mean, they can't beat an offside trap to save their lives. It took them about 30 minutes to figure out how to do it.
Despite being like two of the fastest players in the Premier League, I think.
It's almost like you shouldn't be too fast, right? You got to be a bit slow too.
Okay.
They figured it out. But for those of us, I mean, you've somehow managed to matrix, you know, avoid both Udogi and Tsimikas.
Yeah, for Romero. A bit 0 points with Poro.
Yeah, good. I mean, some karma there. And to be fair, you see, you criticized my Tsimikas move, but I brought in Tsimikas, so he played instead of Udogi, so I avoided minus four.
Okay.
One pointer from Tsimikas don't look too bad now, but still, we need replacements, and unfortunately, we're back here, so best budget defender, Sam. Okay. Who's the guy?
I mean, you could move to another Spurs asset if you... Yeah, but that's the thing. Without Romero, without Udogi, I'm not sure how well they will perform defensively coming up. I mean, so Dyer is going to partner, right? And Van de Ven is injured long-term as well. Yeah. So I probably will bench Poro this week because just three of the starting four defenders are out. So...
But it's Wolves, though. I mean, this is a Wolves with no Neto.
Hey, come on.
Wolves that...
Hong Hee-chan, that other Korean guy.
That other Korean guy. But they did... I mean, we're not racist. That's what Pep said. Just for context, that's what Pep said. Wolves only scored one against Sheffield United, by the way.
Yeah, they seem to just score one all the time. They just keep scoring one and losing every game in the end, but at least scoring one.
I'm surprised you have... It's good for you that you have the capacity to bench Romero.
Only because Cash is back, right? So I can play Cash. Not Romero, Poro. But I think I'll play Cash over Poro, who's at home against Fulham. So, yeah.
Well, Unfortunately, Sam, my bench defender is George Baldock, and
who kept a clean sheet?
No, he didn't. He got an assist.
Assist. Sorry. I mean,
a very debatable assist.
Returned.
Yeah, but I'm sort of done starting Greek fullbacks, and I think
wow,
I've had my share. Simikas and Baldock. Did you know Baldock was?
I did not know that. Baldock was one of those classic Greek names.
So yeah, George Baldock, Greek international. See, I've had my fill of Greek international fullbacks. So, okay, I'm not going to take a Spurs defender, right? As you said, Van de Ven's out as well. I'm thinking it's got to be, well, if you've got budget, Saliba seems fine. For those who don't already have Gabriel, Saliba's safe, boring.
I was going to say, White, maybe, even? If you really have a lot of money. If you have, I mean, Saliba is 5.0, it's quite a lot more. It's 5.7 now, actually. So,
yeah. I mean, the other options, apart from the Arsenal defenders, obviously, Tyrick Mitchell, right? So Tyrick Mitchell, he's somehow magically, well, it takes one goal, but he's now the fourth highest scoring defender.
I have to say, the defender rankings are woeful this year. Like, everyone is kind of... I'm really happy that I went Anderson at the start of the season. He's been...
Yeah, but you never played him for any of his hauls, mate. What are you talking about?
But I played him for a lot of the smaller returns, 5.6 points, which is good, as good as you get, especially now he's 5.1. And I got him when he was 4.5 at the start. So
yeah. In terms of FPL investment, you're doing very well. Points wise, you know, it's still okay, but that's the catch about playing these guys. Okay, so, but for those of us who can't afford Anderson, because it's not a straight swap, right? 5.1, Simikas is 4.5, Udogi is 4.8, depending when you got him. Mitchell's 4.6. So lucky haul last week or avoid?
Lucky haul, but Palace has been kind of consistently putting in clean sheets. 5 clean sheets so far. Is that the most in the league? I think so, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, it is the most. Joined with Arsenal, 5 and Newcastle. So, yes, he's not going to score a goal like every week. This is probably his only goal for the next 3 seasons. Because the last time he scored a goal was in 2021. So yeah, like that's his goal quota signed up. But you won't get hauls, but you'll get consistent returns here and there, you know, which is as good as it can get right now with the state of how all the defenders are.
Yeah, but their fixtures turn pretty quickly, right? I mean, the nice thing about Palace, but maybe we're overthinking this, right? Because next 4, Everton, Luton, West Ham, Bournemouth, that's really decent. After that, then you get Liverpool and City back-to-back, Brighton, Chelsea, Brentford. So it's really good. And then it's really bad. So how far do you look, considering it's a cheap defender? And chances are you'll be making another defender transfer in 5 weeks' time.
But 5 weeks is pretty long. I think, and depending on how your other transfers go, you could just bench him. And, you know, Spurs might be good again by then. You know what I mean? So I think
Fixtures do turn by then, to be fair.
Yeah. So I would support getting a Palace defender.
It's not a bad idea.
It's more that there's just no other option right now.
Do you go for Mark Gahey instead of Tyrick Mitchell? Is that overthinking? Because Gahey is the same price. And I think. Does seem to do a little better on bonus. Got max bonus in the 0-0 against Forest.
Yeah.
If we're assuming that goals aren't really going to be a common occurrence anyway. Or is that overthinking? You just get Tyrick Mitchell because maybe he will score again this week in classic FPL fashion, never score again, but you'll miss out on it.
I don't know. This is his stats for the last few seasons. Last year, he had 2 assists, 0 goals. The year before that, 2 assists, 0 goals. The year before that, 1 goal, 2 assists. This season, he's already on 1-1. So I think he's almost maxed out on his potential attacking output.
Yeah, but he's young, mate. You know, people change, right?
He's quite young, actually. He is. So that's true. That's true. You do have that, Siva.
Motivation, because Southgate will do anything but call him up. Like, he will call every single right back in the country before he calls Tyrick Mitchell up, even though they have no one else at left back.
He'd rather call up Kyle Walker-Peters.
He really should. And I didn't realize this, but Tyrick Mitchell is up against Ashley Young, who this week, Everton. And Ashley Young is, ironically, quite old and also not a right back as far as I'm concerned. I don't know why he's still playing. How's he playing right back? First choice. Ashley Young is what, 37, 38? I mean,
yeah, I think so.
Scored an own goal this week.
I think Personally, I think I'll go Gehi over Mitchell because bonus.
It was so boring, mate. Center back.
I mean, I have Anderson, okay? Come on. Who I did not realize will become a goal-scoring defender, so.
Okay. No love for Newcastle defenders. I see you didn't.
I have a lot of love think about for them. But
yeah, you got Lascelles.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people, I mean, fairly stupidly, a lot of people don't have Trippier. So Dan Burn's out, Botman's out. Both no return dates. Burn definitely a few months. Botman, they're talking about knee surgery now. So you take those two out, you got Lascelles at 4 mil, and you got Tino Livramento. This is FPL heritage at 4.3 mil. Started midweek at right wing, then moved back to right back, came on against Arsenal when Burn was injured.
Livra, I think, if he nails down that spot, would be great. But he has not played more than 45 minutes in the league yet for Newcastle.
I know that there are games outside the league, right? Like,
are they? I don't see them in the fixtures.
Did you not see him? That assist against United in the Carabao Cup, he ran halfway across the pitch, ran past half your defense.
You still have Hall, right? Lewis Hall, who can play there.
Hall didn't come on against Arsenal, so presumably maybe that's the second choice. And Hall can't play game week 13 because he's on loan. So he can't play against Chelsea.
But what I'm saying is that I won't take the risk on Livra just yet. If you're going to get a Newcastle defender, you want to play them because they have a chance of keeping a clean sheet pretty much every week. I would take
Lascelles.
Yeah, I would.
Seems to be doing okay on bonus, right? 9 points last week against Arsenal.
Yeah. And even without it, 6 points for 4.0. Occasional 6 points for a 4.0 defender. Come on, nail in a top six team, top seven team.
He's top six, definitely. Okay, I would say. He's as risky as Livra because, his nailness is dependent on Botman coming back, which we don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah, but for the time being, for the next few weeks at least, there's no better, cheaper option. There's no better option at that price, I would say.
That's true.
Or even up to 4.5, 4.6, I would say he's still probably the best for the next 3-4 weeks, maybe.
So Lascelles over Gehi?
Yeah. Yeah, if you do not have a Newcastle defender.
Fixtures are much worse, though. Bournemouth, Chelsea, United, Everton. So I guess, are we saying United's a green fixture now?
They're playing at home against Chelsea. They're at home
against
Chelsea and at home against United. So I could definitely see Newcastle clean sheets in both those games.
Did keep it clean against Arsenal, to be fair, at home.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe, once again, I guess we shouldn't be comparing a Champions League defense to Palace, maybe. Something to think about. Okay, so Lascelles, right? Not sexy, but hopefully Bournemouth don't defend set piece as well.
And I feel that Lascelles actually carries quite a goal threat, although I will put my hands out and say I haven't really been watching Newcastle games, so I don't know if he still is, but...
So stereotypical, mate. He's English, he's big, he's a centre-back, he must score goals, right?
I remember he used to, back when he was a starter for Newcastle. But, he used to be a different kind of Newcastle, right? Long balls and Route 1 football, real Brexit football.
Brexit football, there's still a lot of that, mate. They're still very much Route 1. They're just a lot more efficient with their Route 1 football.
I'm just looking at it like... one goal, one assist, two goals, a goal. 17-18, he scored 3 goals, and that was the last season where he played kind of somewhat significant minutes. So I don't know if he still has it. Maybe someone who is a Newcastle fan and watches all the games can chime in.
I've seen enough of them to tell you that this team does focus a lot on set pieces. They really work hard on it. So that's why, you saw the game against Sheffield United when they went crazy, right? And different people were scoring the goals. So there will probably be a set piece goal at some point. It may involve him, but you're not getting him for that. You're getting him because he's 4 mil. He's cheap. He plays for Newcastle, and he's nailed until
if he scores, it'll be a bonus. That's all.
And until Botman comes back, he has that place because the next centre back is Dummett, not going to play. Emil Kraft is not a centre back, yeah. So I think.
Do you know Javier Manquillo is still in Newcastle? I did not realize that.
They still got Karius, mate. I mean, Dubravka is still there too.
Yeah, yeah.
Legacy players, all just hanging on.
All right.
Before we finish up, we've spent a lot of time on defenders, but we've got to just talk about one last team. Very good defense. United. So clean sheet last week, Man United. Harry Maguire. Nailed. Apparently, Maguire and Evans are now first choice ahead of Rafa Varane. Makes complete sense. Johnny Evans, much better than Rafa Varane in 2023. Clean sheet against Fulham. And you don't count Champions League results, so we won't talk about what happened midweek.
Yes.
Good fixture. I mean, Luton this week, Everton next week, Bournemouth in 16. That's not bad. Why not Maguire? He's 4.2.
I would rather take Lascelles and also the Palace boys before United. And I think a United defender is very low on my list. There are many players that I would pick over United at their current state, despite the fixtures.
I mean, I feel like you're bringing your bias in again.
Come on, man. Come on.
Had they won midweek, I feel like you'd be more positive.
No. Even if you won like 5-4 or whatever it was. Would have, whatever it would have taken. Of course, there was a red card and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even then, the defense just does not inspire confidence. And they have not for the past year. That clean sheet against Fulham, kind of lucky. Every clean sheet we keep, it's really lucky. Ask any United fan who watched the game and we're like, I have no idea how we not only kept a clean sheet, but even end up winning the game.
That yeah, I mean, the game week one result is like fresh in the memory, right?
Yeah. So, no United players. No.
Okay, fair enough. I think we've done enough on defense. Basically, first choice Newcastle defender, Lascelles. You don't like Livramento. Fair enough. I can't really argue against that.
Not yet, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe two. And if you've got the budget. Yeah. So, if you've got the budget, go up to Saliba. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's good enough on defense. Let's talk briefly about midfielders, right? Mm. So you got Saka, who is somehow again flagged, as he does always, right? Scores and then gets flagged.
Yeah, who will come on though? Maybe subbed off early because he felt it. He felt something. Like that's always what they say, right? Oh, he had to come off because he felt something.
Matt just clutches his ankle. Okay, I get out of this pitch now.
Yeah.
But we are recording Friday morning. We haven't heard the presses yet. So let's assume Arteta says the same thing he says every week, which is, you know, we'll see, wait and see. Hopefully he starts. We don't know. And we're not going to get early team news, most likely. Do you bring in Saka this week, despite the risk, considering they're playing Burnley?
I am considering it, actually, because if Madison is out, I will need a replacement. And Saka looks like the best option for this week.
Even though he's flagged? You okay?
Even though he's flagged. I don't believe in this Saka flags stuff.
I mean, they didn't play him against Man City, mate. I mean,
yeah. Also, the first time he missed a match in like, what, 85 games?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
No love for Martinelli?
I don't know. Is he doing enough? I mean, he scored, right? He scored in the Champions League.
He did not, actually. Trossard scored. Didn't.
Oh, Trost. Okay, no. Okay.
Martinelli scored in the Sevilla game.
All right. I don't know. I feel the output is not quite there like last year, right?
Yeah.
So, Saka. Even then, Saka underlying numbers are not as good as they used to be.
Awful. No, they're awful. Let's not mince words here. They're awful. And
I think Arsenal as a whole, they just don't look like they're clicking. Every goal that you score seems like you had to work so hard. You know, nothing's fluid. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like you have to work so hard just to win every game in the Premier League. I don't know why in Champions League you're like just smashing it. But in the
Premier League, we've turned into sort of Pep's year one City team, I feel. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of passing, not sure what to do with the final ball. But to be fair, we discussed this, right? It's fixture dependent. We smashed Sheffield United 5-0. So forget about the Newcastle result. Against bad teams, we'll still win. obviously that was easier because you had Nketiah, so you had like a clear target man who was going to bring in all the hauls. Why not this week? Would you not be tempted by somebody like a Trossard? Have some fun. Yeah. Why not Trossard this week?
Is he nailed to start? I don't know what's happening.
The people who got Nketiah for his haul weren't too concerned whether he was nailed, right? And they got 17 points. So
yeah,
would you not want the starting, presumably the starting striker? There's no reason to rush Nketiah back for this one. Trossard is very low in terms of minutes. So he probably gets this game for sure. Why not have a punt against Burnley? Burnley have been awful. They've lost almost every game this season. Can't keep a clean sheet to save their lives. Easy win, I feel.
I think I'm looking more long-term, so I'm going Saka. However, if you want a short-term punt because, let's say, you have a plan in 2 weeks' time that you want to move on to someone else, then, yeah, great punt, I think. Trossard always one of those players who, like, if he's nailed, he will get points. It's just that he's not nailed, you know? But his points per minute played is pretty good.
Okay. All right. I kind of argue with that. Saka's the safe, boring pick, and unless Arteta... Okay, let's just hypothetically. What if Arteta just come and say, oh, Saka's out. He's definitely out. Then what do you do?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it. I haven't put in a list. Like my short list of Madison replacements is only one player long.
No Brian Mbeumo. No.
I think the fixtures are against Liverpool and Arsenal. I won him in game week 14. When he plays Luton, Brighton, Luton, Sheffield and all that. But these next 2 weeks, Liverpool away, Arsenal home, I don't know, it just feels a bit... Feels tough to bring in a player for just those two games.
Cole Palmer. You've seen enough now, surely. He's
Palmer's good.
Somehow stealing these pens every week now. He's not even good at pens. Like, he should have had his pen saved this week. Vicario gets all his hands on it, but he somehow gets it in. Then he robs an assist on the 92nd minute against 9 men. So,
but against City, is this the week you want to bring him in when they're playing City and then Newcastle?
Last team, anger, ex-motivation, ex-stick it to the ball, man.
Think what? In game week 14 onwards, after they play City and Newcastle, then he's very tempting. Brighton, who has been conceding, United has been conceding, and then Everton, Sheffield, Wolves, Palace, Luton, Fulham. That's a nice fixture run. So, in 2 weeks' time, I think I would want Cole Palmer.
So, basically, if Saka is ruled out, you have no plans. You're just going to then just sit there and pray Madison's fit.
I have not made a plan yet. I have to see. Okay. I don't know.
It's so easy, mate. Either you go Cole Palmer or you get an Arsenal mid and just enjoy yourself. If Saka's out, you just get Martinelli. It's Burnley.
Yeah, I think so. I think if Saka's out, I'll get Martinelli.
Yeah, mate.
Maybe Trossard.
You take anybody.
I think if Saka is out, Trossard definitely has to play. Come on, there's no one else to play. So,
I mean, even Palace scored 2 against Burnley. Like, anybody scores against this team.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's difficult for us because we have Gordon and Bowen. So, we kind of got the guys who people are looking at. And therefore, we're stuck when it comes to new options.
My midfield is Salah, Gordon, Son, and Bowen. So that's basically like all the meats that you want right now.
Yeah. Same. I'm having a hard time trying to think who to take out to get Saka in. That's my problem. Because I've got all those guys as well.
Yeah, from Burmo.
I really don't want...
Take him out and because then bring him back close... in a few weeks' time.
I know. You shouldn't get too attached to assets. That's the problem this season. You really need to learn to let go. But in Burmo, you're so close to the good fixtures now. And you're so close to the double. So I'm so reluctant to do it. But...
Well, and yes, loyalty because he rewarded you for keeping the faith the past 2
weeks. Yeah, when people gave up, you know, we... Before we talk captaincy, let's just... Because it's a fairly small week in terms of decisions to be made. But for those of us who, again, have forwards, I think Julian Alvarez is becoming a problem, sadly. It does seem to have started blanking more than I would like.
Right when I got...
the fixtures aren't great.
Alvarez can do the job. He starts blanking. Haaland starts
to be fair,
every week. I mean, except for last week in FPL, but you know.
To be fair, he did match Haaland. I mean, I think he outscored Haaland last week, so you got to agree with that.
I captained him, so nice, brilliant extra 1 point.
Yeah. What do you do with Alvarez this week, though?
You still got to keep, right? I mean, why would you sell him?
Fixture's not great. He's not playing particularly... I mean, he's not as whatever it is. The attacking returns aren't coming as they once were. Liverpool in Game Week 13, and he's obviously going off to South America again. So now, I think, given that they have a bit more options, he probably will get benched in that one. Because I think Brazil play Argentina 3 days before City play Liverpool.
I see. Well, I wouldn't sell him this week, I guess. Because I think most people will have bigger fires in your team than to replace Alvarez. And it's not a bad fixture. They're playing Chelsea. So, you know, playing against a bottom 10 team. So... jokes to all the Chelsea fans in our podcast.
But it does help that he got rested in midweek. I feel better about that. Like, I think
so
that means I think he's safe. Okay, fair enough. I think that's pretty much all the transfer topics we can think about. So let's talk captaincy. So this week is a bit more interesting, right?
Yeah. Because like everyone has kind of an equal chance to return.
Yeah, no clear standout. Haaland at Chelsea. We discussed bottom 10 team. Then you've got Salah playing at home to Brentford. Salah's been consistent at home, but as we discovered against Luton, you know, luck runs out, right? If you don't get a lucky pen or you don't get a keeper making a ridiculous mistake. And you got the Arsenal guys against Burnley. So who's it going to be?
And Sun away against Wolves. You could see a goal there. And you have Watkins against Fulham at home. Villa, there's a bigger pun, but Villa has been very strong at home, especially. And Fulham has been very weak. Just very weak.
Yeah.
So
I mean, Fulham were 60 seconds away from keeping a clean last week against United.
That's true.
Again, it's United.
That's United. Villa at home has been really strong. So bigger punt, I would say, but still not outside the realms of possibility for Hall there.
But Watkins did play a very long game against Alkmaar yesterday. He did score, to be fair.
But he's a machine, man. He's been playing... He plays like all the time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Bowen's at home, so he's not going to score. And
what
Gordon's
is this theory, playing, right?
Bowen has blanked almost every home game and scored every away game. It's kind of insane. And then on the flip side, Gordon has returned, not scored, but at least an assist, every home game, but blanked almost every away game. Almost because he did return against Sheffield, but that was like an 8-0 win. So you're bound to get some returns, I guess.
I don't understand this, man. It's just grass, man. It's grass everywhere you go. Like, I can't think that, I'm at home today, so therefore I'm going to play better.
And you know what? As Bowen owners, we know, right? Because we watched, and some of his goals were super fluky, man. Super fluky. But I guess when luck shines on you, but only when you're away, I guess. He only has the luck when he's away. Some kind of weird that he made, you know.
Maybe the feng shui in the Olympic Stadium is not that good.
Yeah, maybe.
All that running track, the big space. Yeah, it's got some bad voodoo.
They should just swap, like play, come in when they're at home, still come out from the away dressing room and stuff like that. Maybe that will help him. Anyway, my captaincy is on Salah. Yeah, because at home, I think it's just a home factor because Sun's away, Haaland, Alvarez is away. So yeah, it's on Salah. Kind of boring, I think, but
You're going to bring Saka in for Burnley. You're not going to captain
him. I forgot that. If I bring Saka in, he's like confirmed going to play. I think I would captain Saka.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just looking at my current team, which does not have Saka yet. But yeah.
Are you scared that what will happen, what happened against Sheffield United will happen again? So Arsenal will run into a 3-0 lead. Saka will either not be involved or get a very questionable assist from a corner that shouldn't be an assist, which happened against Sheffield United.
You know what's a good thing? He can't, I wouldn't say can't, but most of the people he used to give his pens away to are all injured. So hopefully he will actually take a pen this time. So you can hope for that at least.
Yeah, but against Sheffield United, he didn't have the chance to give it away, right? He was off the pitch by the time the pen was awarded.
That's true. I think I'll still do it. It's just a fixture, right? I mean, come on. At home against Burnley. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's worth a punt, right? Yeah, home against Burnley just feels like you got to go for it and just gamble and hope you get lucky. In a week where I don't think there will be a clear standout. Sure, Salah probably 100%. Does he haul massively against Brentford? I think probably not. 8 points seems like maybe.
And I feel Brentford are like expert at this. Like they play so much better when they're against top teams. That's what I feel.
And that's the perception we have, but that's only because we only watch them against top teams, or we watch a lot of them against small teams, and we own their players and get really frustrated. Like, why aren't they scoring against this bad team?
Maybe, yeah. I have not looked at the stats to back up this observation, so-called observation.
I mean, Salah's bookie's favorite. Haaland has higher goal scoring odds. So why aren't we discussing Haaland? Because let's be honest, if Haaland didn't get injured, he'd have fallen last week. It's only because he had to come off early that he blanks. So aren't we discussing Haaland after returning midweek as well?
Because I don't have Haaland. But if you do have Haaland, feel free to captain him. Yeah, go for it. Now, I think it's that whole perception that Haaland away against a top team generally does not do well. United's not a top team before you say anything.
Chelsea's not a top team either, mate.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. Like, if you think Chelsea's defense is as bad as United, if you think that who are their starting defenders now? Thiago Silva and Badashil?
Di Sassi and Badashil.
Yeah. I mean, versus Harry Maguire and Johnny Evans. So,
Johnny Evans obviously much better based on. Yeah, Thiago Silva, Di Sassi, Colwill, and Reece James, mate. I mean, anyway, thank you for reminding me. I've changed. I don't know if you can see it. I've changed mine to Haaland. Okay, so it's extremely blur. Just based on you reminding me who he's playing.
Okay.
Yeah, Haaland. Why are we even talking about this? You get the Arsenal attacker for the fun, and then you just get Haaland for the haul. Yeah. Can't tempt you into a Trossard captaincy or a Martinelli captaincy if Saka's out.
Oh yeah, I would, I think. Captain whichever Arsenal player I have. Although at the very last minute, I may just go to Salah just for the safety, I think. I feel like higher floor. I know people don't like this whole concept of floors and ceilings.
So boring.
Salah has
someone
a high
floor. Someone asked me about Kai Havertz.
Who is that someone? You might need to block them from... No, I'm joking. But he has to be joking, right?
I mean, if you don't watch any of the games, I can see logically, they have no more strikers. So why not Havertz? Attacker, cheap, but no.
Oh, that scares me against Trossard, though.
No, I mean, I think if Arteta was going to use Havertz as striker, he'd have done it by now. The fact that he didn't do it even when everybody else was injured, he didn't do it against Sevilla. I think it sort of shows... Even he sort of accepted that this guy is... We're carrying him as 11th man, but we won't play him as the main man.
So if Odegaard is out, will Havertz play there? And then Trossard up front? Yeah. Is that the
Sadly, yes.
lineup? Is Smith Rowe injured?
Yeah, Havertz...
Smith
Rowe's injured as well.
Okay. So basically, you got no
Yeah, we're down to bare bones. I need to recheck all the Arsenal players to see whose partner has given birth recently, though. Because that's how Fabio Vieira got the pen. He got the pen because he asked her, and Nketiah, look, I just had a kid. Can I have the pen? So Nketiah gives it. I don't know what the criteria is here.
He might play Vieira, right? He might play Vieira. So Trossard, I mean, should play, but maybe not as well. Like up front, like Havertz could play up front and Vieira could play behind. We don't know. That's the thing, right? We don't know for sure.
Yeah, we don't. I mean,
he could play Martinelli up front and play Reece Nelson on the wing or something like that as well.
He's not played Martinelli up front for a very, very long time.
Yeah, but you have no striker, so.
I think Trossard did enough midweek to keep his place. I'd be surprised if he gets benched after that.
I think what will make it really interesting if Saka is injured. Then I really have no idea what's going to happen.
I would like that because if Saka gets injured, I think everybody avoids Arsenal mids this week. And that's where you get your opportunity to get some hauls because people will just be too scared to go in.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. I think we settled it.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's it. So another international break. Very happy. I always like international breaks. 2 weeks of nothingness. But Brazil, Argentina, that'll be interesting. Suns playing Singapore.
So, oh, okay. Cool.
In South Korea, mate, so we can't go. It's too far for us. But I mean,
okay.
All right, then. I guess we will see you for Game Week 13. But in the meantime,
get your green arrows, guys. Have a good game week. Oh, this is big.